AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
And it's Drink Chess Motherfucking Podcast.
Make some noise!
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hey, Sangre, this your boy N.O.R.E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN.
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players.
You know what I mean?
In the most professional, unprofessional podcast. And your number one source for drunk facts.
It's Drink Chess Motherfucking Podcast.
Where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go. It's time for Drink Champs. Drink up, motherfucker.
What it good be, hoping it's what it should be. This is your boy N-O-R-E.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
And this is Drink Chats Podcast. Make some noise! Now, 100%, with me and my partner to the left of me, DJ EFN, we started this podcast. We wanted to say that we wanted to salute the legends. Yep. There's so many people that after you have 10 years, you have, you know, 15 years, you know, 20 years in this game, people want to ride you off and people want to tell you, you know, you ain't, you're old and all that. But that's not what we do here. Yep. What we do here is we want to respect our legends. We want to let these people know. We want to give them their flowers where they can smell them, their trees where they can hell them, their thoughts where they can think them, and their drinks where they can drink them. And today,
wow,
we have people who I felt like they literally raised me from being from Queens. I'm being from down the block from from where they from, Elmhurst, being from Left Rack City. I'm just so honored. I went and I watched House Party again.
Oh, we are,
and I just went and just did. Because, you know, I wanted to do the research, and I forgot how much of a fan. Like, I'm starstruck right now, to tell you the truth. And so I would like to welcome to the building Kid and Mike. Craziest thing about y'all story, salute by the way. Here's the craziest thing about y'all story is, Play, you were the wild guy back then.
Go ahead.
That's what they say. They say you was looked up the Fat Cat, Pappy Mason, like.
Those were my heroes, man. Wow. I was a knucklehead. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have the kind of heroes a lot of cats have today. You know, there was no rap stars. And from my upbringing, you know, my father being out there and the black exploitation films and all that, I thought that's all it was for us, you know. So then when we seeing these ghetto celebrity stars,
like,
you know what I'm saying, the Benzes and the BMWs and all that good stuff, I thought that's all it was for me. Because when cats was in the school, you know, the firemen and the president of the bank coming talking about how to be successful, I didn't know nothing about what the heck they were talking about. Talking to me about roaches in the house.
Shadowing the sheepskin.
Talking about no heat in the house. Fly, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not seeing the Mark IV, you know, Continental Mark IVs and all of that. So I was stupid, man. To God be the glory.
Well, we're here, man.
I dragged him out the So he was doing bad.
So, kid, I follow what you do, and I know you got a close relationship with Bill Moore.
Yes, I do.
Bill Moore, who is a person I idolize.
HBO
Bill Moore. I don't know if I say the name right.
Politically incorrect, Bill Moore. Right?
So, Bill Moore recently.
He on probation right now.
Yeah, I was about to ask. He on black probation.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, for what he said. For what he said.
I told him, I said, you say nigga one more time, I ain't going to be able to save you. You get one fucking mulligan.
Right. Did you speak to him since then?
We had dinner like a few weeks back.
Bill tells me when I'm not around, he's play with Ken and Play. When I'm not around.
We
celebrated his birthday in Vegas a couple of years back. And he's like, I'm the play when you're not around. You all right, champ?
I'm just excited.
Yeah, he's been a close friend since the mid-90s. And, you know.
Did you do his original shows?
Politically Incorrect. Yeah. I probably did that about 20 times.
Oh, damn.
And I think I was on the finale episode as well. You know, he got into that trouble with, you know, back in the, you know, Iraq war days and stuff like that. You know, 9/11 shit.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came back again on HBO, and I actually did the, a couple of buddies in mine did the theme music for Real Time.
Yes, you know, that. I knew that.
Yeah, they switched it up last year for some reason. I don't know. It wasn't broke. But, you know, you know, he's been good to me. And, you know, he's one of those guys that over the years, he's kind of taught me a lot. He's probably one of the smartest, if not the smartest dude that I know. I think we've had a positive kind of impact. I've tried to have him enjoy his success a little
bit.
I'll
know politics through his show.
Right.
Because, like, I'll just like to smoke weed and I just look at his shit and I'll be like...
We smoke pounds.
Okay. So let me ask you a question, because you guys' career, like, when I went and I went and looked back, you guys... You were like one of the first transitions, like meaning you guys had an album, you just started a movie right after that.
You know what's so funny? The only thing I ever
wanted
was a single.
Get the fuck out
for the women. That's all I wanted. It's just a 12-inch single. That's all. That's me and Eric B. Just get us. We good. I was good already, but that was gonna be like, yo. You know what I'm saying? I never in my wildest dreams it'd be a full album, music videos, movies, cartoon series, Marvel comic strip. And one time there was Mattel was talking about her toys at one time for us, you know what I'm saying?
Y'all had the Saturday morning cartoon joint, right?
First rappers ever had
cartoons. What I'm asking is, how did we make that
transition? What people don't know is Reggie Hudlin, who wrote and directed the original House Party, was a video director back in the days. And he used to chase me down in clubs because he wanted to shoot a music video on us. But we had a guy at that time, so we were cool. Then one time you stepped to me and was like, yo, excuse me, I got a movie script for y'all. And he was like, what? So back then, it was in our crew, like me, Play, and the Herbie Lovebug producer. It was kind of like my job to read stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Because I couldn't read. I got kicked out of five schools. I didn't know.
So you was like the lawyer.
I graduated with honors from Herbert Lehman College, with a degree in English literature. You know? So we got the script, and I remember reading it, and I remember coming back and telling Play and Herbie. I said, you know what? It's like 70% there. Like, the structure was really strong. The characters were fleshed out.
This is the original
script for House Party.
And it was written for you guys? Because I heard it was Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince.
Reggie and them wanted us to do it because they was familiar with our videos and stuff. Right. They felt it was a good fit. New Line Cinema wanted Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff because they felt it was a better bang to edge their bets.
Right.
But at the time... They were suing Will and Jeff Nightmare on My Street.
Right.
And Jeff and them is like, what are you, crazy? He wants to do a movie and you suing us?
Right.
So they weren't with it. But Reggie and Warrington always wanted us to do it.
So you were already, originally, conceptually, they were always thinking about you.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of based on childhood friends. And I think it was, even with Groovy Chill and all of them, I think they had a place in it as well.
Who wrote that line before Forrest Gump saying, I smell pussy?
No, this is what I'm talking about. This is where I'm going. So I read the joint. I felt like it was 70% there, but and I thought we could bring it the rest of the way. We could hip hop legitimize it.
Okay.
And so you know I urged the guys that
we
ought
to do it. I didn't
want to
do it.
Right. So but this is what happened. To his credit, Reggie Hudlin let us do basically what we wanted to. He was saying stuff like, look. Here's the structure. Here's the format. Now, if there's a better way to say it, to get to where we got to get to, if there's a more hip-hop and a legitimate way to say it, do it that way. Mm. So he allowed us to do that. And in particular, Full Force, all that stuff that Full Force did, made up all that stuff. That I smell, all that kick your fucking ass, all that. They made up all that. They made up all of that stuff. And that's one of the great things that we liked about Reggie, because he let us do our thing. Now, if it came to something really, really crucial that he thought was crucial to the scene or something like that, maybe he would hold the fort on that. But for the most part, you know, he kind of let us do our thing and let the hip hop come out. And
truth be told, I didn't want to do the movie because at the time we was making crazy money with the music.
Right.
And I felt
and you would think, pardon me for cutting you
it's
off.
It's all good.
But at that time, when people would do commercial things or movies, they would say that they went commercial or something like that.
Oh, you sell out. You straight sell out.
No, that wasn't my reason at the time. Okay. I felt we was making great money. Mm. I'm looking at the history of hip-hop in movies. Because prior to that, we had Wild Style.
Right.
And we can't forget Tougher Than Leather.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Oh, we can't forget it.
So the bar said, let's just forget.
So I'm like, if Run DMC can't pull off of a movie, who the heck do we think we are? Right. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be the business-minded one. But we had this rule among us called majority rules. And Herbie and Kid outvoted me. And it's the best album.
How many albums did you guys make some noise that got there?
How many albums were we in? Were we on?
Just one.
Just one, yeah.
Just two albums.
No, it was two albums. When we did Funhouse, that was us building off the popularity of the movie. Yeah, that's why we call it Funhouse. Because of legal reasons, we couldn't call it House Party. So that's why we call it Funhouse.
So it couldn't be the legitimate soundtrack of the movie?
No, we did joints on the soundtrack, too. Yeah. I mean, we did joints on the soundtrack, too. We actually, they were like competing against one another at the time. So
yeah, but look how long your career you had for one album. That's fucking
That's the way it used to be. That's iconic. That's career.
Like most people, and just think about it nowadays. Nowadays, music is so disposable. What's a hit record today will not be a hit record by the summertime.
Shelf
you know
life.
What I'm saying?
No shelf life.
Like, remember, you used to have a hit record. Your record used to be a hit record at least for a year or two.
Oh, yeah.
Now you have a hit record
and
for
you do a music
month.
Video months. Now you have to do a music video every week.
Right,
you
know what I'm saying?
Well, I will say this. To some people, I think the artists of today kind of, you know, they obviously have a different outlook on it.
Uh-huh.
You know, the mentality back then was like, make the joint, tour, take some time off, and then run it back.
Mm.
Nowadays, like you said, maybe because the music is so disposable, these guys just started hitting. You know, when guys like Jay started doing, they were just like, look, as long as we doing hot joints, let's don't give them a chance to forget about us. You know what I'm saying? Because they will.
Yeah, they will.
So there's a lot about the new era of rappers, the way they approach it that I like. You know what I'm saying?
Well, for instance, I would like to hear.
Well, I mean, look, I listen to so much new rap. I mean. You know, I mean,
I heard you call him the Young Thug. He was like, he's the original Young Thug.
Oh,
yeah.
He was a bad dude.
We're going to get into that.
He was a bad dude.
Okay, I want to hear the dude.
Shoddy in the sheepskin, man. Shoddy in the sheepskin.
I want to hear it.
No, but I mean, I listen to a lot of cats. I mean, obviously, you listen to the big ones. You know, we love the Drakes, and we love the Logics, and we love the J. Coles, and we love
Kendricks.
And a lot of, you know, underground, cats of underground, you know, send me stuff all the time. Wait, let me tell them that story real quick. So young artists, they kind of hit me up all the time, and they say, yo man, you want to sing in this joint, man? Maybe you want to jump on this joint. I say, yo man, send me the joint, you know what I'm saying? I'll peep it out. So our people now got the computer, I'm listening to the joint, man. You know, the beat is kind of rocking, man. He said, yo, you know, me and my man, we did a joint dedicated to y'all. I was like, all right, so yeah, he do rhyming or whatever. Then he can get to the hook, he goes, understand, understand, every day. Understand, understand, don't care what you say. Understand, 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 day. We tag team bitches, that's that kid in play. Kid in play. I said, this is what Keenan played me.
Oh, no, I think you just blew that record up right now.
I said, first of all, ain't no way Play getting on this. That's a non-starter for this dude right here. And I said, that's just even too raw for me, man. We tag team bitches, not that Keenan play.
Yo, oh, did you guys know, like, how famous that dance is?
We got to do it in about an hour.
I heard y'all say that beat in y'all contract, for real?
No, it was a joke. Well, people tell if we don't do it, there might be a mutiny. You know what I'm saying?
Man, it's a torture like Frankenstein.
But you know, it's so funny because I was thinking, I said, you know, you look at do the Dougie, mm-hmm. Nene, all these dancers coming out. And I got to confess, especially I was with Dougie last night and he killed the crowd with that. But I remember when the record came out and the dance became popular, I'm like, oh, this is the end of the Kid and Play Kickstep. This is going to replace it. But we still good. Crazy good. And I'm like, what makes this dance last this long? And it finally hit me. It's the only dance out there that takes two people.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you want to celebrate something, you and your homeboy,
your
homegirl, this is the dance you do.
And then people send us videos and you see online the videos, everybody doing Kid and Play. You don't want to do hit a strike at the bowling alley. Do Kid and Play.
When 2 Chainz wanted to do the stuff with LeBron James, all of them.
I think the Kid and Play went with 2 Chainz one night. You know, the people just roll up on you, man. Kicking your leg. I was like, that's not the Kid and Play.
That's the tag team.
Yeah, you're just kicking me in my leg, dude.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Has, 1 second. Let me interrupt for a quick Drink Champs message. Did you know that every single episode of Drink Champs, and I'm talking to you, Drink Champs Army, Every single episode of Drink Champs is now on Spotify. That's right. The same app that has millions of songs now also has thousands of podcasts. You don't really need to listen to all those podcasts, but they're on Spotify. You can listen to all your favorite shows and discover new ones. Like I said, just don't go too deep. Just stick with the Drink Champs, and we got you covered. But of course, you know, we got friends and affiliates that you can check out. To subscribe to our show, search for Drink Champs, tap follow, and get every new episode delivered to you. While you're on Spotify, you know, don't forget to check out Nori's page and all his music on there, and also myself, DJ EFN. Follow us on Spotify as well. But check out Drink Champs, the podcast, on Spotify. They're streaming it right now. So don't wait. Makahaya bing bong.
And how is it? Because you, so you guys technically came out in 88?
What? First album came out in 88, but our first single, Last Night, came out in 87.
Wow.
So Ask Him Play?
Last Night changed it all.
So how many years is that in the game? How many years is that?
That is 87. Oh. That's almost, that's 31. 31 years.
30, God, let's make some money.
31 flavors. Call his flavors 31 flavors.
You guys are on tour with or you're doing a show with Smokey Robinson. I've never had a reason to be in a room with Smokey Robinson. That lets you know how fucked up my life is.
Smokey last night, but we've done, you know Smokey already. I'd already met him through
Suzanne DePass, who we used to produce our films. But this is the thing, and I guess it's a blessing, because we've been kind of one of those hip hop groups that you can, we can go on an all rap lineup, but we also, you can throw us on all R&B dudes. Like, you know, we did a show in Atlanta last year with Ron Isley, Keith Sweat, and Evelyn Champagne King, and we were the only rappers on. So that's happened a lot over the years, that we were kind of the only rappers.
Come on, everybody together. Hola, hola, hola.
Y'all can remix it. Roll out. Roll and roll and roll. FNN no rain. Remix.
Yo. But you know how powerful the crossover appeal is? I'll never forget when I was on Sunset Boulevard one time. It was a restaurant. Queens. And the one and only Lionel Richie. And I had to roll up on him. And
oh, you said guy, Sunset. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Sunset. Yeah. This guy, I know Lionel Richie. I know in Queens. Lionel Richie wouldn't even let me talk. Ooh. Because he knew about us and just was running down.
That must
down,
have felt great.
Right, yeah, man. And then I went with the Jacksons, same thing.
Wow.
You know, wouldn't let us get a word in edgewise.
You can't just say that.
Lionel Richie just rolled up.
Hold on, Tommy. You see how he said something off his
The Jacksons.
The Jacksons.
What happened?
You know those guys, the Jacksons.
We like giving people they do. We fans too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yo, Luther Vandross, and we've had the honor. But when you go up and you're trying to tell them how much you admire their work, and they're cutting you off because they're telling you how much they've enjoyed your work.
Right.
It's like surreal. Yeah. Lionel Richie.
Lionel Richie just rolled up on him and said, San Bonita, said, No, but you know how it is. You know, y'all come across people, you have no idea who is a fan of yours. And,
yeah.
But Play is right. We usually come out first with the
I just rolled up on Pieces of a Dream, man. And ran down, you know, Mallory Groove, man. 454. And they're like shocked. Like, you know, but yo, we music lovers, man. Right. I'm Earth, Wind & Fire all day. He's real. I'm old soul. You know what I'm saying?
What's the best era in hip hop to you?
The era we came out in. 88, 92.
For me, late 80s, man.
Wait, so you don't go 88 you don't go 10 years? You just went 88 to 92, damn.
Yeah. If you look at the groups that came out at that time,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? 88 to 92.
That's
primarily East Coast, but toward the end, you know, 92, 93.
West Coast.
Yeah, that's when the West Coast were popping off. So I kind of circled that.
Me is the 80s.
It's a question I always needed to know. Was Kane talking about y'all when he said, "Who's Flat Top Rules" in 89?
Kane and I are great friends, and that's never come up. I've never even thought about it.
I know what you're saying.
That was a rumor. Like, because, you know, you heard the rumor.
Did we ask him? No, but this is the thing.
Can we ask him?
Yeah, this is the thing. With somebody like Kane. My flat top rule. No, but the thing with Kane is, and this is what I always liked and admired about him was, Kane always appreciated the thrill of the competition. Like, it wasn't no beef, but it's just like, yo, you know, it's almost like that steel sharpened steel, man. You know what I'm saying? You want to do
this,
you
want to outdo me.
Right. Uh-huh. You wanna do, and yo, his high top was a work of art. You know what I'm saying? Right. And I think, you know, if that was anything, it was a friendly competition. You know, mine was probably longer, but his was like clow. Three cuts in your eyebrow trying to wild out. You know what I mean?
So play it.
That era was great.
But let me ask you something, because since we brought it up, being that the West Coast started rising around the time you guys are bubbling, I remember as a fan, I'm listening. I got Kid and Play on the mixtape, and I got N.W.A., Eazy-E.
Oh, we got N.W.A. stories.
So I'm wondering, how was that? Because for me, what's great about that era is the balance.
That was the first tour. Tour that they talk about in Straight Outta Compton.
No, he was on that tour.
They just don't want to tell you that.
I got Tupac stories too.
Well, we need all those stories.
Wait, so hold on. In the book. But no, with N.W.A., man, the interesting thing was I remember being introduced to their music in L.A. And at the time I could curse with the best of them. When I heard that, I was like, yo. Yeah.
You know, I was scared of them when I first heard
that. And
I'll
never forget when we had been on every Public Enemy tour. Like, that was the best. Chuck always wanted us on his tours. Yeah. Mm. And we had just finished this night, and I'm worn out, I'm tired. And they come to me with the pitch for the next tour, and they got N.W.A. on it. And I'm like, nah, man. I mean, that's just
you already heard the music.
Yeah,
well, you straight out of Compton. When did it come out yet?
It's a bit much.
Easy does it.
But check out the story. When I came down from the after party, we ready to get into some women, the whole nine like that. I wanted my famous Pina Colada, Virgin Pina Colada, but the bar shut down. I thought I could use my name. Like, yo, man, he's like, I don't care what who you are. You ain't getting no Pina Colada. So the promoter comes and says, yo, I got this thing. I said, I'm not doing this thing. I said, you know what? Let me be fair. If you give me a Pina Colada, I'll do the tour. Because I thought the bar was shut.
Right.
Daryl Brooks, G Street Productions, comes over with two Pina Coladas and a half a Pina Colada, and I had to keep my word. And we ended up doing the tour. But the reason why they needed us to be on Colada. But the reason why I wanted to keep my word, the reason why they needed us on
and
that tour.
You said a Virgin Pina Colada?
Yeah, that's how I get
secure down. The venues?
Because with Public Enemy and NWA on the same tour, they thought it was going to be crazy. So it was one of the great artists to balance it out. That's why we ended up being a part of that history. And we had fun with those guys.
This is the thing. You know, a lot of times you're wary or, you know, because you don't know people. Right. You know, we didn't know Too Short. We didn't know Easy and them. We didn't know Dre. We didn't know Q. We didn't know Yella. And once we got together, first of all, I made the mistake and thought it was two different audiences. I was like, the people that listen to Kid and Play couldn't possibly listen to NWA.
I would say that too.
Yeah, but I was so wrong.
Is that the same tour that T.K. Kirkland was the host?
Yeah, same tour.
Oh, shit. That's
T.K.
Right.
bombed every night.
What does that mean, bomb? That means good or
no? No, that's not good.
Oh, for real?
Hey, but he kept going every night.
This is a true story.
But he's good people.
But my main point was, we got to know one another, man.
DK bombed.
But the funny story, toward the end of the tour, right? Toward the end, we were in we were in Washington and Philly. And as the tour moved east.
And this is Public Enemy and NWA.
I think PE was on by then. Yeah. And as the tour got more and more toward the East Coast, the West Coast, because East Coast wasn't really up on it yet.
Right.
So they'll say they struggled a little bit. And I remember the last couple of shows, even Too Short.
NWA, you're saying, struggle.
You know, and not too them short. So much, but I remember one night.
West Coast, period.
I remember one night, Too Short had a rough night, as we all do sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so we backstage, and Too Short, man, that's my man, 50 Grand. I remember him saying to TK, he said, man, I might have bombed tonight, but nigga, you bombed every night. You consistent.
But you know what? Here's a piece of history for you. Yeah. People can say what they want to say in regards to it taking a minute for it to catch on in New York. Mm. But one cat that never gets his props she got that helped out NWA a lot. DOC.
Oh, of course. Yeah, from Texas.
Because, yo, he broke through the mainstream, you know what I'm saying, regular play. Mm-hmm. And cats had to give credit to Dr. Dre and that whole thing, man, because he was doing it, man. And that helped usher in. It helped usher in the NWA family.
And, and as Play said, we all had a blast, and these are some friendships that we carry, you know, to this day. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we were joking around about TK, but, you know, look, he was a part of it as well. Right. Too Short was on that. DLC was on that tour. Wow. JJ Fad was on that tour. And then all the other tours we went on, we was doing stuff with Digital Underground when Tupac was a backup
dancer.
When he was young and wild.
And
he
crazy
was
thing like 18 about, or 19. Oh, man, it was funny with Tupac because he wanted to rap so bad.
Lived to rap.
So at the after party, one time we hanging out, me and him, I go to, I'm just there for the women. So he wants to get on the mic. He wants to get on the mic. Uh-huh. So he goes, the DJ goes, yo, we got my man Play in the house. Play, come on up to the booth and rap. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. Tupac says, yo, man, go on up there. Let's get up there. I said, yo, I'm not here for that, man. Well, let's get up there. When the DJ gives you the mic, you quickly pass what you mean.
Quickly.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we would be down on beat downs and all of that. He had the craziest crush on Yo-Yo. He loved him some Yo-Yo. Because we talking to the Lynch Mob.
Right. Right.
But yo, he would do anything for Yo-Yo. You know what I'm saying?
Cool. Tupac.
Yeah, Tupac.
Wow. That's crazy.
Shout out to Yo-Yo. She's dope.
Now I seen on an interview.
Dope.
And you said that G-Rap is from your neighborhood. I always thought G-Rap was from Corona and Left Rack. So you claimed him as being from Elmhurst when I seen you in
Well, you know, it got confusing because a lot of cats would hang out in the Hearst because that's where the girls was at.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? Some cats didn't want to claim Corona like that because they wanted the girls over in that area. So sometimes it's a fine line because you had like 37th, 34th Avenue.
Right,
fine line. Okay, but, you know, when you looked at the school district or whatever, you would say Corona, but come to find out it was Jackson Heights.
Okay, so 34th Avenue is Corona?
I would say we consider 32nd Avenue and beyond to be up in Corona.
37th Avenue
would be like East.
That's Corona to us. Yeah.
We considered that.
Right.
You know, you remember the bomb building?
Yeah, the bomb building. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I remember the bomb building.
What was that? Was that Corona? Was that the hearse?
Well,
that
was like
we
considered it the hearse. You know who used to live by the bomb building? A horse. Nas's guy. Exactly. He's living by the bomb building.
We considered that.
Old school queen. Y'all gotta relax, y'all. By the way, kid, I spoke to the Queens delegation, and when we looked at your story, we want you to erase the Bronx out of your story. We want you to just claim Queens. We spoke to the Queens delegation, and I also spoke to the Bronx congregation, and they said it's okay.
How about that?
We're so proud of you in Queens. We want you to fully claim you.
The Bronx raised me, but Queens pre-Queens paid me.
You and Salt and Pepper worked at Sears together.
Yep. Sears and Roebuck telephone sales
representatives. And you all got fired.
At some point or not.
I was the first one that got fired.
Thank you, Sears.
So what would have happened if you guys wouldn't have got fired? Oh, you have to stay as this.
Oh, that would have been a sad story. It would have been no story.
And Salt and Pepper was there. And Spinderella or just Salt and Pepper?
No, just Salt and Pepper. Herbie Love.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that Martin the connection with Herbie
came over.
Martin worked at the gas station, right?
Okay. Yeah, he used to work at a gas station across the street from
there. What kind of neighborhood was this? That's what I said, eventually came over. Let's just break that down. Right, man. Them and Salt and Pepper worked at Sears together, and Martin walked across the street.
At a Hess. There was a Hess gas station.
Talented ass stores right here.
And we all got down. I mean, can you imagine that? That's like a billion to one. Like all five of us got fame. I mean, if you include Herbie, like all of us?
Yep.
Wow. All of us. That's crazy, man.
And then y'all actually, Chris Tucker and Bernie Mac is like y'all discovery?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, their first movies, Chris Tucker's first movie was House Party 3.
Wow.
Bernie Mac first movie was House Party 3.
When I heard
what happened with Bernie Mac was, this is a piece of history. Mm. Martin didn't want to be in House Party 3. And we knew we needed...
Yeah, he turned us down.
What?
Yeah. Flat.
So anyway.
But were you guys producing the movies at this point?
Yes, but we're getting paid as producers.
I'm like, yo, we need some star power. We need some comedy power in this joint. Mm. I went to go see to the premiere of Who's the Man.
Who's and the man?
Bernie, he wasn't.
That's like one of
the I looked at the screen. I said, this could be Robin Harris's brother, the complexion, the whole nine.
Yeah, the whole mannerism.
So I told him, because he was there, I said, dude, I'm going to get you in House Party. I'm going to get you whatever. I reached, what was her name? Susan something up at New Line, the lady.
Yeah.
One of the VIPs.
Yeah.
And I told him,
Sarah Richard.
Yeah, you need to get in touch. This needs to happen. You need to have
Robin. Bernie,
and the next thing I know, it happened.
Yeah, yeah. So it was definitely early in his career. And I remember I used to watch Chris Tucker when he came out from Atlanta and watch him do stand-up out in Hollywood at the Comedy Store in particular.
And then you called me. You said, yo, trust me on this.
Yeah, because we were about to shoot this scene the next day.
Same time, man.
Hit me up. He said, yo, man, we ain't got nobody. We need the manager for the stripper. We ain't got nobody, man. Mm-hmm. He said, we ain't got nobody.
He's going to perform tonight.
I was like, I just seen Money at the Comedy Store, man. You know what I'm saying? And Chris had just got off stage, so I stepped to him. And you know Chris. Chris is like, hey, kid, what your rich ass doing? So I said, yo, man, come down to the set tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? There's a part for you, man. Just do the blah, blah, blah. Went down there, did the one scene, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Stole it with the scene, you know what I mean? And then his next movie after that was Friday, because now New Line was very familiar with him. Yeah. And, you know, Q brought him on deck.
So he was a known quantity.
Oh, yeah, he'll tell you that.
Same time, man.
And you saw him live.
Yeah, saw him live doing stand-up, man. He was just a young Chris Tucker, like fresh out of Atlanta, was electric. He was electric, man, and I knew, yeah, and that goes back to another thing that Play was talking about, or kind of inching toward these house party movies, especially toward the end. Right. We get most of the credit, but there was lots of good people, man, and we wanted that. Right. We didn't want to, you know, we wanted everybody to shine because then it uplifts the movie. Everybody wins. Right. So when we wanted Martin to come back for House Party 2, yeah, you got to let him win. You know, we told him put full force in House Party 2 because it ain't broke.
Right.
And not that you can't add pieces, but why you replacing them? Why you taking away? Let's add to it. So over the course of the three House Parties and a movie like Class Act. Uh-huh. We were always trying to load up on the talent, and if it meant giving people opportunities that hadn't had opportunities before, fine.
Is it true LeBron James is doing a new remake of House Party?
That's the word on the street.
So how does that happen? He has to call y'all.
That's what we need. Hey, yo, LeBron, man, I want to be in there, man. Put me in there somehow.
We own House Party, but we don't own it. You know what I'm saying?
That's Time Warner.
That's New Line. So I mean, it's obvious that they've kind of bonded together and to formulate it.
They got good people with it, man. I mean, it's Willis' brother, Donald Glover's brother. Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just concerned because it's a different time in this world. You know, when you came out with House Party, then it was relatable. Everybody knew about the house party, parents going down south, this, that. Let's put that where we at today. You know what I'm saying? It's clubs.
I was in love with Gina back then, too. She loves you too. I'm sorry. I just messed up. You guys think that?
Great kisser. You guys, shout out to Tisha.
You guys couldn't.
I hit you back out on the market.
Oh, word. Oh, my God. Wait, I'm not going to lie. And Play, I ain't going to lie. Old school rumors in Queens. You were knocking down a lot of bitches in Queens, goddamn.
I mean,
that was the word in Queens. I'm saying they was like, "Yo, man, like, you were like the first Wesley Snipes." Like, you were like, you didn't even think about it. Like,
no, he was the first Wesley Pipes. This dude was a terror on.
Yeah.
You don't play yourself a Playboy.
In Vogue?
But
you had
it. Damn.
Man, that's
what, all of them Vogue?
Yeah, one time.
The bad one. Yeah. That's the one he had.
Yeah.
No, but Kim was knocking out those books in school.
Yeah, exactly. When we first started hanging out, I was getting no ass whatsoever. I got these big, thick glasses. Like, what's going on here?
That sounds like the Class Act version.
Yeah. But that's what he helped me out a lot with that. You know, he kind of helped me get a lot of game because my game was.
So Class Act is really.
That's why we did it.
It was really not.
It's funny because when we first got out on the road, we had to share a room together, low budget situation. Ooh. They used to call us Sid and Clay. They would never get our names right, you know, the other nine. And he'd meet some girl and come to the room late and. Who? Kid? Wait for the phone to ring because she's supposed to call him when she got home safely? I'm like, dude.
He was one of those dudes. Dude. Dude.
I was a toddler. Okay. And then he couldn't go to bed without some tea. Tea with lemon. You know what I'm saying?
He's a sophisticated dog.
You know what I'm saying? Get me out of this room. You know what I'm saying?
And you really did good in school and shit like that.
That's how I learned how to talk is from this dude because schools got done with me. Art and Design, Flushing High, Hillcrest High, Bryant.
He was on the world tour.
All schools I got kicked out of. But I started hanging out with this guy. I taught him how to cut school the whole nine. Yeah. And we be in his crib and Jeopardy would come on. All right.
Tell me he know the answers.
Yes.
I'm like,
who is this I'm hanging out with? I can be an intelligent thug out of this. You know what I'm saying? Because I used to use all my children to get at women. You know what I'm saying? Watch the soaps when I cut out, be at the party. See a girl wanted to get with, excuse me, but do you know what happened with Erica Kane and so-and-so today? You watch the soaps? Yeah, you know, my little tender side, and then, you know, slide in there. Don't try this at home.
That's some real Capone shit right there.
The soap operas was the way. Like I went to Lehman College back in the days.
Lehman College, that's in the Bronx.
Yeah, in the Bronx.
Okay.
So at lunchtime, I would go to like the student center because that's when all the girls were there. It'd be me and like 20 chicks. You know what I mean? Watching all my children. So you just, you know what I mean?
You gotta say a name that only somebody who would watch would know.
Yeah.
So man, the girl know you wouldn't play games. Yeah, you know? Oh, and then they trust
me. Ted Martin.
Ted Martin. You know, how do you know about that?
Right. Oh, you like the chicks right now. I was like, damn, they got me.
Yeah.
The chicks are looking at me like, he looks like a cuddler.
Was there ever like inside competition between you and Salt and Pepper being that it was like y'all was the exact opposite version of each other?
Never. We helped each other a lot. You know what I'm saying?
They put us on.
You know, I mean that too because our first thing was really, I was in the Tramp video.
Yeah, the Tramp.
And then we were in Shake Your Thing. You dance with them and Shake Your Thing.
Yeah,
but the thing was, Kid helped with the lyrics, helped her perform that. I helped with the outfits and the gear, the pushy jackets, all of that kind of stuff. So, and they helped us, man. I mean, believe me, forever.
If you look at a lot of early Salt and Pepper videos, you see us all up in there.
We played the detectives in the Shake Your Thing.
And everybody get up. But this was the Idol Maker's way, you know, Herbie's conglomerate at that time. Because it was always the strong helping the weak. So Salt and Pepper helped put us on. Then we came and then we put Kwame on. You know, he started appearing in our stuff. We started jumping in his video.
Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Up.
Dana Dane was in the clip.
Go back and watch
old Dana Dane videos. We all have been there, you know, just little high top.
Let me just stop you for 1 second because Play said it so nonchalant. He was like, you helped with the lyrics. Why do you think back in the days, like Big Daddy Kane would out front write for Bismarck? He would make it be known. Mm. I mean, Eazy-E has a line on his lyrics. He says, Ice Cube write the rhymes that I say. And you just said, like, with Salt and Pepper. But back then, that was not frowned upon. But now, you know, I heard you mention Drake earlier. And I went and looked at your interviews. You mentioned Drake a lot. So I know that you like Drake. Mm-hmm. But why do you think it was so... Why do both of you guys, not just you, but why do... both of you guys think that it's so frowned upon, like when a person like Drake status.
Yeah, like today, right? Today, okay, like today, yes. Today it's frowned upon. Yeah, yes. I mean, I don't know. You know what? Our clique, our crew was a community. And it was everybody pitching.
You took a Salt and Pepper.
It's called Idol Makers Camp. Dana Dane, Kwame, Sweet Tea.
But what was the intention? The intention was to get the people up and dance. You know what I'm saying? By all means necessary. Mm. So if you had a clever line or something that's going to accomplish
that. Yeah, we all sitting around the studio.
You know what I'm saying? It's a party in the studio. Right. And the great thing about back then, you had the Juice Crew. Mm. You had the Idol Makers crew. Mm. You had the Boogie Down. Everybody had these crews and the first lady of their crews and all that stuff. But it was a competition in Iron Sharp. And iron. We all wanted to be unique in our own way. Who's going to do this, going to do that? So I think it was the intention. I think the intention today is different. I don't think it's the same agenda, you know. That's not a bad thing. It's just different.
And to me, I don't have a problem with cats having ghostwriters and stuff like that, man, because you still gotta make it sound good.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's almost like taking steroids. You can take steroids, but you still gotta work out.
You still gotta be able to hit the baseball.
What's the question behind what's the difference between a rapper and an MC?
Yeah.
That's what dove into that. right there. If you're an MC, you can't. You got to be
MC, you know, MC who's great in top five has to write his own thing. But now a rapper, who's great in top
entertainer type,
he can be an entertainer.
And it's one thing brainstorming and loaning a line versus writing the whole song.
And I think one of the persons that helped set it straight was Diddy's line. Don't worry about me, right? I write checks.
Well, we had one of Diddy's producers on here called D Dot, and he said that he was. I think he was
the mad rapper.
Yeah, he was drunk. He was being the mad rapper.
He came in as a mad rapper.
I know. When he came in, so what happened was he said that every artist steals. He said every artist stole. Wow. Every single, and I said not everybody. He said everybody. He was very adamant about that. That's and I looked, and I was like, "Damn, let's make it clear. Like, I'm here." And but you know, I'm not here as an artist.
And I'm a rapper.
I gotta remind myself, I'm not here as an artist. I had to let people speak as a journalist. Right. But Razzcast was there too, and Razzcast was like, "Yo, B,
no, he was
not every artist has stolen.
Yeah,
but
he's up with that.
But I'm not gonna lie to you."
Mm-hmm.
As I posted that, I read my comments, which I don't read my comments because I like to be sane.
Yes, sir.
But this is the first time I did read my comments, and a lot of people were agreeing with him.
Yeah, they say everybody's saying.
They said that everybody's
saying. It's the way he was saying. I think it's a matter of semantics too. Like he's saying, like if you borrow anything,
no.
That's the way he was saying. If you're influenced by anything,
he's saying that Jay-Z, even standing next to Big, made Jay-Z better, and it made Jay-Z,
which I think is different when someone goes literally
right
to
the sun.
So there's a difference between wholesale doing something and influence.
You do comedy, right? I apologize for cutting you off, but you do comedy. In comedy, that is like almost standard. Like almost standard to have a writer run around with you.
Well, not always standard.
Look, if you're at super high levels, you know, like Bill Maher, Kevin Hart, you there's no way one man can create all that
and
material,
as much as you're working too.
Yeah. Bill Maher has writers year round.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Year round for not only the TV show, but when he does his live performances.
Mm.
So they're always giving him fresh new political stuff and whatnot. And Kevin, I'm sure the same way, he has a real tight, talented crew.
Right.
I mean, and so that's more like,
and
you know,
I know
everybody
shows the credits with Eddie Murphy, and you see how much the involvement of Keenan Wayans and even Robert Townsend. Yeah. All of them, they were a clique, man, and they all hear something funny. And they
it's hard to create all that content by yourself. So what happens is you're with people that are like minded. You know what I'm saying? Like good friends of mine.
Well, they know your style. Friends of mine with Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Good friends of mine like Joe Torre, Tommy Davidson. You know what I'm saying? We all look
and
at each other.
I've been around that craziness, man. I mean, be around all of them, man. Just comedians. It's nothing serious.
Yeah,
everything's a joke.
And a lot of times, what happens is this: you'll have a friend, you know, a friend comic, watch your set and watch some of the material. A lot of times, they'll give you what's called a note. Like, hey man, you know that joke you do about the such and such. At the end, why don't you say ba da 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 da, and you know, and say to make it pop like a little bit more. And we've all been of the mindset like, look, I don't care if it's funny. If it's funny, I'll use it if it's gonna make the joke
better.
That's
my point in regards to going back to writing lyrics back then.
Mm.
If it's what it's gonna take to get the people to get up and dance, it's that kind of line. Use it. That what he just said nailed that. But
so
over
have you ever had use a line that wasn't yours?
Dude, this was my ghostwriter Herbie. Oh, I threw in a little something there.
But you guys were a team.
My thing was I got this idea for a dope jacket. Put this on. Because that big shout out to Ron Lawrence,
one of the producers with
Herbie Lovebug, by the way. But my thing was designing. My thing was just hanging out with Dapper as long as Dapper
Dan.
He was the reason why.
He was the Jam Master Jam of the crew.
Yeah, if you saw us, our gear, and you thought our shit was fly, that
was
it.
You was like the first designer, like the first, like, you know.
Well, you know, it's so funny because I remember having a meeting with Andre Harrell, and I was like, yo, let's create beats and let this beat be a beat that represents Foreplay, because that was the name of my joint.
Mm. And he had Barbershop. Like, play.
I had the Barbershop Foreplay, and I had the clothing joint Foreplay.
Because
when Dap got caught up with that whole Mitch Green and Tyson situation,
the torch was
passed to me, so I'm, you know, all that good stuff. And Dap and I still like this right now. Yes. But anyway, the interesting thing was, and I'm about to lose my train of thought, was the fact that, y'all going to the next one.
Dapper Dan, stylist. If you, Dapper Dan, stylist.
Drink champs, y'all. Well, you forget.
Well, I was talking about when I did the thing, but my thing, I really didn't lose. It's going to hit me when I stop thinking.
You had Dapper Dan stuff back in the day?
Hell yeah, but I couldn't afford it when y'all was doing it.
Mm.
I mean, y'all was doing it. I couldn't.
Yeah, him and Herbie used to be up there all the time.
Salt and Pepper Jackets design. I had to live there at that shop because you know he had all them Africans in the back.
Oh wow!
But Dap wasn't known for being on time with your gear, so Herbie was like, "Yo, man, you're gonna have to just stay here all night, whatever." Because we had to get those jackets and the mural I did. This on the back of that Push It thing, I had to be on a plane to get them there out. I think we did that in Florida, the Push It thing.
So technically, you could see me
on the side.
You were like the first Puff Daddy.
Oh, I know what I was going to say now. Yeah. The thing about it, Andre and I, we were talking about doing a thing with gear. And he's like, "Play, I really don't see that." Then you got Wu-Tang that did it.
Yep.
What was that joint they did with the clothes?
Even Biggie had Brooklyn,
all of them. And he didn't see the vision at the time. You know what I'm saying?
He was definitely ahead of the curve. And he had, like, for example, when Martin Lawrence was hosting Def Comedy Jam back
then. You styled him, right?
Those first six episodes. Even with his show, you know, because you know I did School of Hard Knocks. That was my joint.
Oh, in Queens. Yeah. I walked that shit
on. Me and my partner at the time.
Wait, that was your name?
School of Hard Knocks. Jerry.
Over at
Vaughn's and Corona.
Okay,
we were partners at the time. I did the designing. We had this idea because African American College line, that Allegic line, Chris.
The black college thing.
So I said, yo, they doing all this thing about people going to college. I'm a dropout. We know all the people that didn't finish school. We need to come up with a line that represents those that are still good, even though you didn't go to school. So we said school. We came with the idea on the 59th Street Bridge in traffic going into Manhattan. And I said, School of Hard Knocks. And we came up with the line of naming all the artists from Queens and rappers we knew that didn't finish school. And that's how that thing blew up. And then things was going on crazy in my life. I wanted to give it all up, and I didn't get money from that. I gave it to Jerry. I said, "Just take it," because I was stressing. You know,
that's great.
Because I want to properly always, you know, introduce and, you know, be in tune with the artist. So one thing I've noticed is you're a big glasses guy.
I love glasses. I collect glasses and watches. That's my two.
You're a big
ladies
glasses.
With sneakers, too.
I got that watch, too, by the way. I got
my same watch, too.
But what glasses is those? Those Gazelles?
Gazelles. I think these are the Havanas.
Okay, all right, cool. Yeah, I ain't got those. His glass game is heavy. I was like, one thing. You could tell a nigga getting money by the type of glasses he wear. He got the official. He had a pair of Cartiers. I couldn't find them.
I was like, look
at these Cartiers. And I said, hold on, let me try to find them. And I couldn't find them. I said, he's official. When I can't find his glasses, I know you dig deep. I'm a glasses guy. I'm so sorry.
I was much more of a sneakerhead. I mean, I still am to a certain degree. You know what I'm saying? But not like
bringing the ponies out now. I said I wanted to know what was on his feet, and he got on ponies, man.
Oh, damn.
Someone just told me what ponies stood for.
I can't remember. Someone just told me, but the
NY stands for New York and pony. It's PO. It's an acronym. The NY and pony stands for New York. And someone just told me, and I can't remember.
That's old school, that's to play handball. So, let me ask you.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative NBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Out of all the things from being a rapper, even though you touch the comedian world, what made you say, I'm going to do stand-up? Because stand-up is probably the roughest of the comedians.
Right.
Why wouldn't you go straight to your HBO stand-up special?
Well, this is the thing. A backstory is I was actually hosting a TV show, a syndicated TV show called Your Big Break. It was actually like the precursor.
I remember.
Precursor to American Idol. Yep. Like, you know, if you can sing, you know, you sing a Cher song, but we're gonna put you in one of Cher's gowns and dress up the set and do all this and that, right? So it was a show I hosted for a year, but then I got fired.
Almost like lip sync.
Yeah, I got fired from after the first year. It was a Dick Clark show, right. And they fired me by letter. And then I end up getting replaced by Alfonso Ribeiro, yeah. Right? The only black guy whiter than me. You know what I'm saying? Right? So I was like out of work. It was like night. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was literally
Carlton. Carlton.
It's not unusual.
Some of these jokes are time released. Right. So I was, you know, Kid and Play was cold at the time. Right. You know what I'm saying? I was on the left coast. Right. He was back east. Right. I wasn't really doing anything. I needed a spark. Right. And with two good friends of mine, Tommy Davidson and Bill Maher, that urged me to go into stand up. And actually, Bill Maher brought me on the Oprah Winfrey Show. One of the first times I ever did stand up, because it was a show called Funny People and Who They Think Are Funny. So you had D.L. Hughley brought on some more. Wow. John Stewart brought on Lewis Black. And Bill Maher brought me on and said, hey man, this is one of the funniest guys I know, and da 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 da. So that's kind of how I got started. But what I found out ultimately was having been a rapper really helped prepare me for stand-up.
Is that the real?
Well, first of all, you already know your way around the stage. I mean, any comedian will tell you, man, half the battle is just feeling comfortable on stage and comfortable in front of strangers and comfortable in front of fans. Man, we had already done that. We'd be performing in front of hundreds of thousands of people. You just got to make sure that the material is tight, that it's unique to you. And to me, if you're talking about, you know, Tommy and Bill Maher, you know, two of the greats, you know, and they literally kind of forced me.
Tommy Davidson.
I mean, if you talk about comedian idols, I mean, you know, everybody, the Richard Pryor, Tommy is one of the, he's so underrated. He's one of the greatest of all time. We're Tommy. A lot alike, you know, kind of manic and over, you know what I mean, real quick off the top and stuff like that. So he was a great, great influence. And you know, and Bill, somebody as great as Bill was behind that. So, it felt comfortable, like almost off the rip. Wow. You know what I'm saying?
And what did you think when he said to you, I'm
going
to stand
up? It was an interesting piece of news. He didn't come get at me like, yo, Play, I'm going to do comedy. I just heard he was doing comedy. I just know how much he makes me laugh. Right. I just hope it translated, you know, to huge audiences. Right. But no, I was good with it. I heard he was like Bigfoot. There were sightings of him. He has this club. He's, did you see him on? I did see when he hosted that show and all that. But I got a question. Do anybody remember when Will Smith tried to do stand-up?
No, I don't remember.
He tried to do stand-up?
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was like an award show.
You talk about bombing. Because he did a joke about, suppose Jesus came out with sneakers and they were called Air Jesus. Too soon. You know what I'm saying? Too soon. Yeah. I'll never forget that, man. But the best of tried.
But you know what?
Look, the kid is doing his thing, baby. Yeah, he's good. I mean,
and what was your worst night?
Wow. All right. You're going to love this one.
Okay.
Right. TK's going to love this one because I royally bombed. Okay. So I was in Little Rock, Arkansas. Oh,
right? Shit.
That sounds like it's going to be
Little Rock, Arkansas, right?
Bill Clinton.
And I'm crushing it, dude. Mm. I'm crushing it. Thursday, crush it. Friday, crushing it. And back then, I used to bring our DJ, DJ Wiz. I used to bring him with me. You know, almost like on some King Capri stuff. You know, play the.
You guys discover King Capri too. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, yeah. Play the comedians on. Play me on whatever.
Maybe, like a maybe do like a little vibe, fun.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, kind of vibe. So Wiz would come with me. So Wiz was with me that weekend. So I'm feeling myself, man. Saturday night, I said, man, I'm gonna try this brand new joke, man. I'm feeling. Myself. I was watching TV. I was in the room, probably getting high.
Got gassed.
I got gassed because I was doing so well. You know, exactly. I was winning. I'm out here winning. So. I said, all right, I'm going to pick a spot right in the middle. So I'll come out, and I'm crushing them. I said, now's the time to do the brand new joke. So I said, hey, man, mind you, we're in Little Rock, Arkansas. I said, man, I was watching TV today, man. I was watching this religious program, man. I don't know if you guys are into boy bands at all, but you know they got a religious boy band out, man. Have you heard these guys, man? They had their first record. It was called Jesus, He's So Neat. They put nails through his arms and nails through his feet. And I just laid like this. So if you have to lay across like this, and the audience went silent. And I looked down. I looked out the corner of my eye, and I could see Wiz. Wiz was down below. Wiz looked at me and said, why did you do that?
We were winning. You
did not kill that.
This is the worst I ever. And I never ever told that joke again. I just tell the story of me bombing and telling the joke.
Because to be a comedian, that's how you have to learn if the joke is good.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you gotta jump off a cliff.
Yo, that afternoon, I said, I'm winning with this.
Still silence.
Oh, it's a bad joke.
Now it's like y'all lives did a 360 because in the beginning I think you self call yourself a nerd or something like that, and then you were like the cool kid, you were a street kid, you actually wanted to pursue the street life even more than the
you
music.
You remember back then when you went to jail, that
of
was
course.
Your celebrity in the thing.
Of course,
you know what
of
I'm
course,
to come
of
out, you know what I'm saying? That was the stupidity then,
But y'all lives is like 360 now because he got something called Kid and Blaze. Would you want your own joint or are you good?
No, I'm good. I got it.
There's
a work night.
You got something called Kid and Blaze.
Yeah.
And you are actually a born again Christian.
Believer, yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, how did that happen for you, for people that
just to cut right to the chase, man? When you just get everything you want that you think is going to be fulfilling, going to be happy, know who my ex-wife is, and homes and cars.
Yes, I know who your ex-wife is.
All of that good stuff. Sherry Heller, y'all coming to America.
No, come on. Come on. That's McDowell, man.
Lisa McDowell.
Lisa McDowell.
But God when you have everything. I mean, come on. I want to be you. He's buying Benzes. Herbie's doing Benzes and BMWs and Porsches. I'm like, I got to go bigger than these cats. What do I do?
Because it's like y'all switch
lives. What do? I do a DeLorean. Like, you know what I'm saying?
This nigga bought a DeLorean.
And it just got to the point where it's like, yo, this isn't doing it. This is like, right. I'm tormented. It's like, what more do I need to do? Whatever. And I'm seeing you got to cross into that dark side type stuff now. Some people call it the Illuminati, making deals down to.
Because I'm not going to lie, I was so scared. I was like, damn. I was like, I got to be kid's idea to come here because I smoke weed on every episode.
Right.
So I was like, but then. When you didn't decline and you just came, I said, damn, you're the cool, like, turned over Christian. Because, there's some people that take it too far. They be like, yo.
I mean, I went through that stage, too.
You
know what I'm saying?
You didn't want to be.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
You couldn't have been around him because he's Irish and Jamaican. Well, like both of his sides is a little bit crazy.
You know what's interesting? We have a relationship most don't have. It's like there was no casting call for a kid. There was no casting call for a play. We can finish each other's sentences. We can, if I'm not able to be on the call for a business deal or vice versa, just as long as we know we had a conversation about it prior to, we good. Okay. So it's like, you know, it's just natural. It's organic type thing. I mean, it ain't perfect. We go, you know, we the odd couple. You know what I'm saying? Especially now. But it's like, it's all good. And it's like, for me, I just want people to be themselves, man. Because that's where we got to, if it's going to be any kind of change, it's got to start from that. It just can't be like trying to be something you're not. But spark it up, man.
Like me, yo, man, thank you so much. Yo, what's up?
They should let me know.
They're supposed to be here between.
Before you guys leave, one thing that I definitely want to know, because, and I was trying to bring it up before, is that when you guys did the movie stuff.
Yes, sir.
If there's anything that artists could learn today, the way you guys structured those situations, that do you see something from those movies today?
Oh yeah, I mean, our people, you know, we might have took them for granted.
The first one, you got $30,000.
We did.
No, you got 60, and he got 30.
No, I got 30.
Something like
you got 30.
I got 30. Okay. I think because we were on the clock. So if I had a little more screen time than him, that means I probably got paid like a little bit more. But that topped it out. Like 30 G's, nobody was getting. Nobody got, but where they messed up was they didn't have an option for us for the next 360 deal. So now we got sticky up.
Right. And I think it's because of our situation that a lot of companies said, no, we will never let that happen again.
We want to make sure we have everything.
If you do movies, your images, or whatever the case may be. They didn't have that with us. And I think that Fred Mineo, good friend, man, Select Records, great guy, but he let that slip through the cracks, and I think he kicks himself for not, you know, because no one thought
it would ever happen.
Did you guys get production credits in the following films?
A lot of stuff grew eventually.
Could it be situations where people could learn from those situations?
I would say this. The type of input that we had, and thankfully that the directors and the producers gave us, would be considered producing today.
Yeah. Right, absolutely. Everything you described, we were not getting paid as a producer.
Yeah, he's fine in Bernie Mac.
You guys are writing the script over.
Remaking the thing. Right. You know, writing all the raps and all that. That's producing today. Yeah. Right. Today, that's producing.
Yeah. Right.
So, know what you're worth. Know what talents you're bringing to the table, because a lot of the stuff that we did and they took for granted, and look, it all came out, and 30 years later we still here, you know, doing our thing. But just know exactly what the details are of what you're expected, because what we were doing back then, that's production.
You ask something about Kid Capri?
I was definitely about to ask something about
that's my dude.
When y'all did
the best DJ ever,
what y'all did the Martin
he did he was the DJ for Martin's Def Jam thing,
right?
But prior to that,
when it goes Martin,
you did the thing,
but that's Kid Capri's voice when it goes Martin.
No, let me tell you what happened. We did a couple of different verses. The one of like the first couple of years, that's me sounding like Capri. Me going Martin. You know, I can barely do it now.
My ears.
Yeah, that was me. And I apologize, Capri. I should have, I should have called you up.
But
it's like finding out Santa Claus ain't real.
Let me tell you what happened. Honestly, out of respect for Capri, I didn't sample him. We didn't sample him off the top. So and I knew I could imitate it and sound like that. But then, like, after the second year, I was like, man, just want to go put Capri voice on. So that's probably what you probably heard one of them seasons where we did slip it back in there, man. So
I guess I owe Capri a separation with Kid Capri, because that's our dude. First tour, he'll tell you this, that he ever did was with us.
Wow.
Ever did. Because there was a time we said, yo, I wanted two DJs, Wiz, and somebody livened up the crowd the whole nine. Right. But the only thing about him, he refuses to fly.
So the only he's
the John Madden of DJs.
So was DJ Khaled. DJ Khaled was like that.
Well, no, he's flying now.
Now he's flying now, private.
Yeah, he's rich. I was tempted, but I don't think I should have.
Me being a part of a group, right? Even though it's two of us, right? I'm Capone and Noriega. You guys are killing play.
Right.
it's kind of hard to stick together when you grow apart, but you're still the same kids that you remember. Like, how? What was the worst part of Kid and Play as y'all relationship as famous people? Because y'all were friends prior to that.
I think
I can only think of one, but it's not bad. It's not bad.
You talking about the airport?
What happened in the airport?
They got separate ideas.
No, I'm thinking about the time, because if you look at some of the times when we started blowing up, we started doing interviews on, you know, Arsenio.
Me and Capone had a straight fist fight. That's rare. Couple times.
Arsenio and BT shows and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, this guy starts wearing, like he's right now, dark shades. Right. You know what I'm saying? And everybody in the crew is like, yo, what's up with Kid in the dark shades? You know, even in the light, you know, and then what you about to say? That was a little odd. It was like a sign of like, okay, I think he's going to Hollywood.
You forgot this. This is what happened. We were flying back. I think
we got Hollywood on you? That's what you say?
Well,
like 5 minutes. Yeah, but in our crew, we was like, yo, in our crew, we'd be like, yo, nigga, that shit look whack. And I'm like, okay, we're off.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't like, you know, I don't want to share a thing with him. No, he didn't get like that. But okay. It's like, dude, where's your eyes?
You forgot the story. This is what happened. We was flying back to New York, I think from Los Angeles. Matter of fact, Jeff Christie was with us. Shout out to Jeff Christie. And for some reason, man, I forgot what the specific thing was, but you know, we was butting heads. I think we were waiting on a car, and the car was coming. And you said your car got to go here and there, this and that. Mm. And you know what I'm saying? You remember we got into it, and then we had to get separated by Jeff Christie. And you remember there were like fans saying, "Oh my God, Kid and Play are fighting!"
I think I must have blacked out.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That was like the only time I could think of. That was like a million freaking years ago.
Yeah, but let me tell y'all something. Let me ask y'all a question, right? Do y'all realize how famous y'all are, though?
I don't.
You don't.
I'm not telling you what I think you want to hear. I really don't, and I'm kind of glad for that because, you know, get the ego and all of that kind of stuff like that. But as just now, kind of recently, like last night, I was at the Black X. I mean, Radio 1 B Expo. Shout out to Sharice Malachi, right. And I did what I had to do. I'm premiering a documentary about dances and hip hop and all.
Nice.
And I go to hang out. And guy grabs me in a yoke and won't let me go for like 3 minutes. It's Allen Iverson. Talking about how much the influence of my character meant on him on being cool. And then other people in the business just coming, going, yo. And it's funny because back then, cats wouldn't tell you that. You know how we all did.
Right.
But now as we gotten older and humble and appreciate life more, we come up to each other and say, yo, you need to know what this meant to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So now I'm beginning to get it. Like, I wasn't big on legend and icon and all that stuff.
Oh, you guys are definitely legend.
I tell people, I'm still working on it.
I am just an icon living.
Definitely pioneers. But like last night, I'm with Grandmaster Cass and I'm with Dougie Fresh. Cass, that's living legend.
That's the architects. That's the architects.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
But that's what Drink Champs is about. And I just want to reiterate that. That's what I saw that it was a lack of. I feel like when a person has 10, 12, 15 years in this game, we write them off, as opposed to where in rock and roll and in jazz.
They celebrate them.
And I think our culture has to change that. That's why a lot of people come to me and they want me to interview new artists.
The bad thing about this industry.
And I won't interview new artists because I just want to, I feel like they got the regular radio station.
The bad thing about this industry, man, is one where ageism, because we don't do it in other colors, other genres. But when it comes to this, it's like, wow, like really?
And there should be no ageism in art. Art and ageism doesn't go together.
To your point, look, you know, the young rappers, they roll up on us and they show us mad love. If he, you know, we're, if we're together or he's by
welcome
himself.
Welcome to my house party.
Come on, all of them, I mean, other cats too.
And they show mad love and we appreciate it because
cats
they don't have
bowing,
to.
Right. You know?
But we try to tell them, like, hey man, our participation, our work is kind of done.
You know what I mean?
So we're either, we're on that wall, however wherever you want to put us. Now, you got the ball. You got the bag now. You got the football. What you going to do with it? You going to fumble it at the one, or you still going to be here 15, 20, 25 years?
Let me say this.
It's all up to you.
Okay, you said something that just bothered me. You just said they don't have to. And the thing about it is, kid, that's something that we got to take out of the culture. I think they should have to. I think that if a person's a two-man group and a person has not reached the accomplishments or accolades, I think they should be asking you the time to throw the roses at your feet, and what time?
On that note, hold up a minute. We really got to go for the show.
No, no, hold on,
for the show because we. I love the 90s.
Yeah, gotcha.
I want to take this time personally on behalf of Kid and I. To thank you.
All right.
Because you've gone through some things.
All right, yes, I
you know how it goes in this joint.
Of course.
And I'm hearing this thing about Nori and his podcast.
Right, right, right.
And I didn't know the name of it.
Right, right.
But this thing has become the talk, man. Right. I mean, on some Breakfast Club, maybe higher, all of this.
Right.
And congratulations to y'all too, man.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
give it up,
you look good.
Right,
you're doing your thing.
You're shining.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank
yo,
you.
Seriously,
thank
man.
You.
Salute.
And we're doing it for hip-hop because we just realized, and this is the last thing, we realized that hip-hop has to have a platform to salute hip-hop. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
At the end of the day, like, our culture has to continue. And the older we get in this game, it should be like the tribes in Africa. The older you get, the more that you
more
should be saluted.
You should be, man,
you should be throwing. So, you know, I know we got to rush because you guys have to go.
Just doing
but thank you guys
coming
so much.
America.
Man, make some noise for motherfucking Kid.
Yo, We love watching y'all on Vice. So shout out to
my
man.
We on Revolt.
I'm sorry. We love Diddy.
We got Puff Daddy money.
No. Big shout out, man. We love the show.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing now.
Yes.
Then we get to talk to you about it and realize
and
the whole mindset behind it.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. It's right on time. You're teaching the children.
That's right. Anytime.
Respect.
So we just gonna take a picture and let's drop. And then y'all can go. Thank you so much. We apologize. Okay. Yeah. Picture first. Who you up, Dre?
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Good sleep should come naturally. And with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.